I'm one of the zombie dogs from Resident Evil 1. And when I'm not jumping out of plate glass windows to frighten Jill or Barry, I'm spending a little bit of time listening to Frog Pants shows like The Boop Show. If you like this show, well then, pay up. Listen, one zombie dog to another. Go to patreon.com/frogpants and help this show and many others out by contributing today. That's patreon.com/frogpants. This is The Boop Show, some gaming news you can use for December 8th, 2014. I'm Scott Johnson. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show. It's the Monday edition. I already told you that. No, I didn't. I told you it was the 8th. It is Monday. And it's so good to be back. Just so good to be back with you. All right, look. When Sony took the stage for the PSX, the PlayStation Experience. And by the way, I think Microsoft should do one of these. Why not have a convention? Seems like everybody's doing it. Why not have your own? Get all those Xbox fans out to Vegas or something. Seems like a really good idea to me. Kind of hope they do. Anyway. The keynote happened, right? And to be honest, it was kind of like a boring, it was kind of a boring keynote. I mean, there were a lot of things shown, some games and stuff that I like to see, but a lot of filler too, like these things always do. And life isn't the same without Jack Trenton up there, in my opinion. But one part I didn't expect was EA to come out on stage and give away three games for free. One on each of the Sony platforms. PS3 got Mirror's Edge. Vita got something, Need for Speed something, and PlayStation 4 got Garden Warfare, Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare for free. So I thought, well, one of those interests me, and partially because I'd already beaten one of them and I already own the other one, so why not go for the one I don't have, which the Xbox and the PC have enjoyed for a while, Garden Warfare. And I had heard at the time of launch that even though it was a bit of a rocky launch, that that was a really fun game and that the community is strong and that support has been good and they've continued to make it better. And it's goofy and fun and not like your, you know, typical gritty shooter. So I thought, well, I'll do that. I'll get that because it's free. Why not? And I played it and it's great. It is fun. It's totally fun. And I'm going to keep playing that. And it's, you know, give me a free game and you're, it makes me real happy. But it struck me as kind of weird. I don't know why they're doing that. What was Sony's EA's motivation to give away anything for free? I mean, if anything, this is a better year for them because they haven't launched any major technical duds the way they did last year with Battlefield 4 and Need for Speed. What was it? Need for Speed most buggy. Anyway, those games launched with major problems, and this year it's Ubisoft's turn to take the bullet on all the crappy releases with the bad bugs. So I don't know. I don't know what their motivation was. It can't just be, hey, we feel like being nice, right? I don't know. It's funny because it had, well, maybe this is why they're doing it. It had an interesting effect on me because I went, you know, you got to give EA credit this year for releasing some pretty well-regarded and finished games. Dragon Age 3 is getting rave reviews, unlike 2, which I thought was poop. But the fact that Dragon Age 3 has been getting such just universal praise, I think part of what made me finally tip the scales and get it on PC today, it's actually downloading now, was that EA got up and did a nice thing, and I feel like, man, you know what? Time to give EA a break and play one of their games again. Not that I banned them or anything or, you know, sworn them off, but they were real trouble last year. People forget with this year's bug-filled releases, they forgot how bad last year was. Specifically in the EA stable. Yeah. So that's going on. Also, I did notice while I was in there, oh yeah, PlayStation Plus month free something something this month. What is it? What do we got here? Oh, look, it's Gods Among Us. Injustice Gods Among Us is free, which is the Mortal Kombat team's DC Universe fighting game with a big story. And this is the one that's all DC and no MK characters in there, like the Versus game. And I had heard pretty good things about it, so I thought, why not? I like the way they handled story in MK3 and Marvel or DC versus MK. So that's an interesting thing. So yeah, more of that sounds good. And boy, I am so disappointed with the frame rate in this game. It's terrible, and it shouldn't be. We're on brand new hardware. I don't remember hearing about this problem before during the other console releases or the PC release. It looked terrible. Mostly cutscenes, admittedly, and I don't know why, though. I think the cutscenes are rendered in real time, I think, in the engine. Boy, they better be, because if they're not, and they're still crappy, kind of intermittent crappy frame rate, that's just bad video work. So assuming it's all rendered in engine real time, it's awful. Just unoptimized, kind of a terrible port, and some of the gameplay is a little hitchy, too. I don't know what happened there. Talk to my buddy. It says that the same game on his... he may have been talking about the Xbox One, though. Or the 360. I thought he said his Xbox One was also trouble with that game. But anyway, what are you doing over there with that? What's going on there? Not that you need to go fix it. I mean, the game's old now, but... Whew, re-release on new consoles and it plays that bad? What are you doing? Get into the news. Hey, the Game Awards came and went. The 2014 Game Awards. I found a nice Forbes article that breaks down the winners and the losers. Well, mainly just the winners. Do you want to hear who won in these categories in case you didn't pay any attention to this last week? Here, I'll give you what I got. Start at the top. Game of the Year. Dragon Age Inquisition from BioWare/Electronic Arts. The game that what is downloading for me right now. Best Family Game, Mario Kart 8. Best Shooter, Far Cry 4. Best Performance, Trey Parker as various voices in South Park, The Stick of Truth. All right. Really, though? I don't know if that one counts. He's just doing South Park. Is it any more special than he would do on South Park? I still haven't played that game. I missed the sale. Anyway, Destiny, Best Score and Soundtrack. Hey, all right. Best Online Experience, Bungie's Destiny, once again. Best Mobile Handheld Game, Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft. Best Fighting Game, Super Smash Bros. Wii U. Developer of the Year, Nintendo. Wow. Well, they have had the best string of, like, unarguable hits. Like, every one of those games, I mean, they're all games you expect from Nintendo, but they all nailed it, right? Best sports game or racing game. Best sports/racing game. Mario Kart 8. That's weird. I guess you can include whatever you want in that category. Games for Change. Valiant Hearts. The Great War. That's whatever. I'm starting to get interesting with the categories. Best Narrative. Valiant Hearts. The Great War. Industry Icon. Roberta and Ken Williams. Best Independent Game. Shovel Knight. Best Remaster. Grand Theft Auto 5 from Rockstar North. What do you got? What else here? Best action adventure game, Middle Earth: Shadow of Mordor, totally deserved it. Best role playing game, Dragon Age Inquisition. Let's see what else. Most anticipated game, The Witcher 3. That's not out yet, but it's very anticipated. That's what we've been led to believe. Esports Player of the Year, Nadishot. For Call of Duty, Esports Team of the Year, Ninjas in Pajamas, Counter-Strike Global Offensive. What? Okay. Trending Gamer, Total Biscuit. I don't know what that category means. I mean, that's fine. TB's doing great, but why is that a thing? All right, whatever. Best Fan Creation, Twitch Plays Pokemon by Anonymous. Anyway. There you go. I don't know how I feel about those awards yet, because they get weird with some of the categories, and some of it's just a little dubious in terms of what qualifies as a certain kind of category. I don't know. I'm not going to be picky about it. I think it's good that it exists, but it needs to evolve probably. So time will tell. Video game pioneer Ralph Baer has died. Passed away at the ripe old age of 92. He is the dude what made the Odyssey, or essentially built what became the Odyssey. He sold off the guts of that thing to Magnavox, and then they put it together. It's essentially what Nolan Bushnell got his inspiration from when he built Pong. It's always kind of interesting. I was saying this on another show, but the guy who tends to be the big inventor, or the one that discovered something, or the one that truly innovated, is not always the guy that goes on to make the most money or have the most fame or the most notoriety. It's usually somebody else with the business savvy who sees what he did, duplicates it or copies it in some way, makes it better or has broader appeal or more money to market it or whatever. And surely that's Nolan Bushnell, as compared to Ralph Baer. But he is revered by many developers and players alike, and good long life, 92 years old. You can't do much better than that. He won the GDC Pioneer Award in 2007. And then more recently, what was it? Bush gave him something. I shouldn't say recently. Was that 2004? Yeah, the National Medal of Technology and Innovation was handed to him by George W. Bush. Good times.
Scott, hey, this is Matt from Pittsburgh. Just had a kind of comment for you. I remember growing up in the 90s playing Super Metroid on SNES, and that game was influential to one's childhood. Just curious on your thoughts of why Nintendo doesn't take these and try to, I don't know, push them into the modern age. With all the sci-fi games that we have, like Space Age games or mech games like Titanfall or something like that. I mean, well, why can't we take some of the technology we have nowadays and recreate Super Metroid for today's audience? Love the show. Thanks. Boop.
All right. It's a complicated answer, but they have done. So they did that with the Metroid Prime games and the GameCube era, and the Wii had a game as well. So you could argue that they were doing that right up until 2007 or 8 with Metroid specifically. If we're sticking with Metroid here, they've done a bunch of stuff on handhelds and kept them in the 2D, sort of 2D tradition on the handhelds. I don't know, man. Part of me says, well, Metroid is at its heart, its great strength is a great 2D experience. So maybe that's all they should do moving forward. Or some would argue that, no, Prime proved that you could do more with the property and make it take it into a new dimension. And they certainly did that, although the sequels weren't that great. The first one was amazing. So I don't know what the answer to that is, other than, you know, the Wii U is certainly capable graphically of more than the Wii, or before that, the GameCube, which was essentially the same engine or the same hardware. They could do a lot more on the Wii U in terms of visuals, but I don't know. It depends on what you mean by take it into the modern age. Like, if Nintendo was publishing on multiple platforms, including PCs, they could go crazy, right? But they're not interested in that. And I don't know how interested the base of faithful Wii U owners is in a new Metroid game. Maybe tons. I don't know. I don't know how to gauge that. But it's a good point. Will they do more with it? I hope so. Even if it's just new 2D games, I'm fine with that. I'd be cool with that. Witcher 3 was delayed again. Not too much. May 2015. It was going to be February of that year. So right around the corner, dude. Fine with me. Take your time. It's nice to see a developer willing to put the brakes where it needs it, you know? So freaking rare. It's like, I mean, who does this now? Who can we point to and say, yeah, they truly will wait till they're done, and if they means delaying, they'll do it. So I guess Rocksteady delayed Batman Arkham Knight. Arkham Knight. That got delayed. The Witcher, I think, was already delayed once, and now again. Blizzard delays all the time. I mean, they're really like a handful of nameable developers and publishers who are willing to do this. The rest of them are rushing things to market to hit certain you know, financial goals or whatever, and that's probably okay. I mean, I've never been one to totally criticize that because I get it. Everything moves at the speed of business. You got to do what you got to do. But those that have the culture and ability and money to make a decision like we need to do this, we need to spend more time on this, let's delay it 6 months, they have my respect. So that's good. Uncharted 4 gameplay trailer shown at the PSX. It's funny, they call it the PSX, the PlayStation Experience. The original PlayStation 1 was called the PSX. Do you remember that? And I think for the same name, wasn't it? At least that's my memory. Was it just Japan, or did we... Because we weren't calling it a PlayStation 1 here, because that's all there was. There was no 2 to compare it to, so you would call it a PSX. That's what I remember on launch day. 1995 or 6, was it? Ugh, I don't remember. Anyway. Uncharted 4 gameplay trailer looked amazing and beautiful, beautiful update to that engine. It's so just awesome frame rate, beautiful art direction, like you'd expect, right? Incredible motion capture for the characters. The acting looks great, good. The story looks great. The mood of it is awesome. Pretty standard, though, the rest of it. Gameplay-wise, kind of standard-ass looking Uncharted gameplay. I didn't see anything that was going on that screen that told me different. Felt bad about, they had a goof on stage. They were playing this in real time and somebody, whoever was playing, fell off a cliff and then fell through, basically clipped through the ground and entered this giant gray box of void before they got it back up on track. So, you know, it's alpha code. You can't give them too hard of a time, but probably not what they wanted to have happen on stage is my guess. Anyway, it looks good. I want it to be innovative gameplay wise though. I mean, graphically, I'm excited about the update, but let's have some gameplay in there. Grim Fandango Remastered Lives Again on the 27th. That's coming to Vita, PS4, and I thought PC and Xbox were also getting it, but they announced this on the PlayStation stage, so I don't know if that was just ignored. And I meant to go match that up with the other dates, but I assume they're all getting it. I know the PC is. Anyway, Grim Fandango, man. That was a hell of a game.
With all the talk of Warlords of Draenor, you finally convinced me. I think I'm going to go ahead and start playing WoW. The only problem I have is I've never actually played a game with a keyboard and mouse before, but I'm used to the game controllers like the Xbox 360. Could I possibly plug that into my Mac and go ahead and start playing with that?
No, it doesn't. I mean, even though your Mac and your PC will support controllers for lots of games, World of Warcraft does not support controllers. And probably never will, unless they make a version for consoles. But even then, like Diablo 3 in the console is, you know, made for that. But then the controller doesn't do anything for the PC versions or the Mac versions. So you kind of hose there, man. You cannot play WoW with a controller. Now, saying that, we have a guy in our guild who has some sight issues and has worked up quite the system to play the game anyway. It kind of blows my mind. I need to interview him. In fact, dude, if you're listening to the show, because you know who you are if I'm talking about you, get in touch with me. I want to talk about how you play, either for the instance or for this show, because I think that's fascinating. But anyway, no controller. Sorry. Not in any normal way that you want to play it. At least not now. Maybe not ever. Batman looked pretty good on stage. They showed a bunch of stuff from that, as well as some exclusive DLC for the PlayStation that dealt with the... What's his freaking name? Scarecrow is his name. And it was all hallucinatory and weird, like you'd expect. And that's coming along nicely. What's that do? It's due out early next year. So, I don't know, pretty stoked. I wasn't seeing anything that was screaming at me, ooh, look at the huge change in gameplay. I'm not seeing that with these sequels very much, which is a little disappointing. Time will tell. Speaking of sequels, Orcs Must Die Unchained showing up on stage as well. Very stoked about that. Don't even like these kinds of games normally, but that one's one of my favorites. That whole series is great. If you've never played it, it's on PC. 2 is amazing. I think it's super cheap right now. 1's great even then. The third one looks great, and they were touting that pretty heavy up on stage. That'll be on Steam, I'm sure. Probably. I don't think they said any exclusivity on that, so my guess is that's on everything. Xbone, PS4, and PC. What an awesome series by Robot Entertainment. If you've not played any of the Orcs Must Die, then you must die. No, don't die. Just go play it. Street Fighter V is an exclusive, it turns out, to the PlayStation 4 and the PC. This also announced on stage. Sorry, there's a lot of Sony-heavy stuff because that was the big news this week. They had their big thing. This is why I think Microsoft needs to do one of these. Just take over the news cycle for like a week. It's a smart move. Maybe you can use your smart moves in Street Fighter V. Looked nice. Looked real nice, I thought. Nice upgrade graphically. Still retaining that kind of cool look they had in 4. The overall style of it. And, hey, if you own a PS4 and your buddy is on a PC, guess what? You can play each other. Interoperability between platforms. Woohoo! And it's also a huge get. That's a giant get. The competitive community has basically just been told that, hey, the game you love and you follow and that you're competitive with is now going to be a platform exclusive. So, hey, everybody get a PlayStation 4 pretty much for the lifetime of that game. So in all of your tournament play and everything else, it's all going to be a PlayStation game. It's kind of a big deal. As exclusives go, they both get them all the time. So this isn't that weird, but it's a big deal in that community. And I wonder how they're reacting. Positive, negative, probably a mix of both because, why, it is the internet. Drawn to Death looked really cool. This is the new David Jaffe game. I don't like him. He evoked the name Gamergate up there, which I think was dumb, but the game looks insanely cool. Like it's, imagine the stuff that your stoner friend used to scrawl into his notebook at the end of fifth period. And that's what this art style looked like. You basically dive into the pages of a notebook and all that rad art comes to life and you have these, you know, 4-on-4 or whatever it was. Was it 6-on-6? I forget what how many players can play, but it's basically a competitive shooter. Deathmatch stuff was all they were showing. Alluded that there would be more in terms of game modes. That looked really cool. And if you're not familiar with David Jaffe, Twisted Metal, God of War, some big names under his belt. Totally worth watching that game as it gets closer to release. And that looked very much like an indie that'll be all over the place, not just Sony. Unless I heard that wrong. I hope so. More platforms, the better. What else here we got? Hearthstone, Goblins versus Gnomes, out today. First Hearthstone expansion, Goblins versus Gnomes, is available now, featuring 122 cards. No, I'm sorry, I just gave away two cards that don't exist. 120 cards. Those are all new. And that goes with the existing game. And it's 20 million registered players. So if you log in between now and December 19th, you'll receive three free Goblins versus Gnomes card packs. I'll be doing that later today. I still suck. I still am bad with that game. And, you know, whatever. Android and iPhone version coming out next year. It's just going to get bigger and cooler and more rad. So good on them. Way to go, guys. Nice work.
Hey, Scott. Calling the Boop Show. This is Adam from Plymouth, Michigan. I just heard your most recent show, and you read an email from a listener named Steve about the complaint about games being released that are broken and need day one patches. And he mentioned the fact that this has not reached movies and TV shows yet, thankfully. Well, unfortunately, I read yesterday that Warner Brothers released the Batman 1960s TV show on Blu-ray DVD, and I read that they were glitchy. They were bug-filled, and I believe that they were released missing episodes that they were advertised to have on the set. So Warner Brothers has deemed themselves appropriate and is sending them a new replacement disc. So unfortunately, this stuff is now hitting, besides video games, movies, and TV shows. What's next? Love the show, Scott. Boop.
All right. It's a fair point, but I don't know that this is part of a trend right now. Like, to see traditional media have goofs like this out of the gate is never, that's always been true. There's always been a brand of TV that you thought was good and broke before you got it home or sucked in the first week. And then they were like, oh, got to recall these. There's a bad chip in them or something. Or there's always been cars where 2 years later, oh no, they recalled all the airbags on the driver's side. People are dying because of some defect. That's more like what you're talking about. The software side's just too easy to say, we'll patch it later. We'll do a day one thing. Players will be fine until we finish this other piece of content that we, you know, should have taken more time to do before we released it. Like, it's a different kind of thing. It's a major goof when you print a million DVDs or Blu-rays and have to recall those things because of some reason or another. That's a major, major problem. With video games, it's gotten too easy, where they just kind of go, eh. And maybe as consumers, we've been too soft on them and we haven't demanded more because we just assume, oh, they'll fix it eventually. I do it. I think a lot of people do that. Anyway, it's a good question, but I think it's, I still say it's kind of a different animal. Turns out Destiny progress will carry over to the sequel. This is according to Bungie. That is good news, right? You don't want to do all that work and then just have to start over. Kind of insanity would that have been? I mean, did any of us think they were going to do anything else? I mean, duh. I didn't. Did you? Here's the quote. It's been no secret that we have a 10-year plan for the expansion and evolution of the franchise. And it's something that we're always dreaming about. He continued to say, the idea is that the Guardian you have created is something you can bring along with you on that adventure. If you take a look at the way people have played other games for a long period of time, they have had a relationship with that same character for a very long time, unquote. Well, yeah, if you're claiming to be an action RPG / MMO on the console market and you say you have a 10-year plan, that 10-year plan better include figuring out a way to have some continuity with your character. I mean, I can't believe they even had to explain it. Maybe they did because we all didn't know and they haven't made it clear. I don't know. But yeah, Yeah, duh.
Hey, Scott, this is Raven. Just listen to today's Boop show. I got to call BS on you a little bit when you're talking about the Target issue.
Oh.
Target, talking about their Target demographics, no pun intended. It's not gamers, though. It's gamers' moms and grandmas. Gamers, which I myself am one, don't go to Target for video games. But now that it's Christmas season, their moms and their grandmas and families do. And when I think when Target says their main demographic prefers that, I think that's who they're talking about. That's the person who spends 50% of the income on groceries and everything else at Target, and that's who they're aiming at. Just my opinion. I love the show. Keep it up.
All right. Ooh, that was a low boop. That was low and guttural. Keep putting those little boop tags on your calls, guys. We love it. Okay. I disagree, though, still, and here's the reason. I understand what you're saying. It is a different demographic. The foot traffic through that place isn't all gamers. It's not like a GameStop, right? Totally agree with that. However, they still say they know what their constituency wants or doesn't want. And if that's the people they're talking about knowing what products they do or don't want, then those people should know they don't want it or not. Do you see what I'm saying? Their claim isn't that we're trying to protect people who don't know. They're claiming they know. So it'd be different if they said, oh, we've got unsuspecting grandmas coming in here trying to get Billy a new video game. She doesn't know. She's going to buy them the worst thing ever. She has no idea. That's not what they're claiming. They're claiming grandma knows all about it and that grandma wouldn't have bought it anyway. So why pull it then from those who do want it? And again, I'm saying Target can do what they want. Absolutely, they should be able to do exactly what they want. I'm not going to scream censorship or any of that bullcrap. This isn't a government we're talking about. It's a corporation, and they get to choose how they do business. That is fine. Totally fine with me. But I'm just calling BS on their reasoning. I'm calling them out, man. On the floor. On the carpet. Let's go. Let's go. Speaking of let's go to the emails portion of the show. By the way, the phone calls have been pouring in. You guys are amazing. I would remind you right now, out loud, that you can call the number 801-471-0462 and leave a message. We'll play right here on the show. You've heard many on the show. You know what they sound like. You know they're nice and short and interesting. That means you'll get played. 801-471-0462. Or you can email attachments and or regular emails to boopshow@gmail.com. That's boopshow@gmail.com. We got an email from Audie who wrote in. Says, hey, Scott, quick thought to throw at you. With all the recent screw-ups and delays on recent console games, is it possible that the problem may not be with the games and or developers as much as it is some kind of problem with the consoles and new console architectures themselves? Just a random, nothing to back it up thought, and thought it might be interesting anyway. Boop, Audie. Okay, some have said that this is a possibility. I kind of think that there's some of that to be done here. There's some of these things, but they've got dev kits. They know what's going on. They can recreate all of the environments they need to. Also, these are both using very standard PC architecture that they, A, were already used to from PC development, and B, it's already super simple and major standardized. That was the whole idea this time around. There's no weird processor that Sony put in there that nobody else makes, and it's super hard to get it, to get your head around like they did with PS3. And even in the case of what 360 ran on what? PowerPC chips from IBM, which is a different architecture. These are using AMD / Intel / straight up ass x86 stuff. I don't think it's a good excuse. And there are plenty of games that have come out. See, this is the thing people don't talk about. Plenty of games have come and gone without any of these problems. Shadow of Mordor is a great example. Game runs great. Looks great. Is great. Assassin's Creed Unity, what's your excuse? I mean, that's what I would say to that thing. Plenty of people have got their heads around it just fine. These guys are rushing games to market. Is there any other reason? I cannot. There's no other reason that I'm aware of. Rushing games to market, under testing, and therefore under delivering. Email from Rich in St. Louis wrote in, says, "Hey, Scott, I'm having trouble understanding the sentiment I've heard a lot of over the last year about how much easier and generally better it is to play games on PS4 compared to Xbox One. I do not own a PS4, but I do own an X1. I do not find it difficult or hard to play games on my system. My time from picking the controller up and getting into a game is about 10 seconds. Can you explain the sentiment? Thanks, Rich from St. Louis." Boop, he says at the end. Rich, I haven't really heard that. This is all I've really heard is the lead platform ends up getting lead development. And that happened during the 360 days when it was most dominant, and you would get less than great ports on PS3 and better versions on 360, which was great for 360 fans like I was at the time. And that's awesome. I think that's kind of happening now here a little bit, is you're just getting more attention to the main dev, which will be the lead platform. That's one theory. I'm not saying that one's even accurate, but that's some people have said that. Also, there's a lot of talk about the interface. If you decide you don't like using Kinect to navigate around with your voice and stuff or gestures, that it's kind of a mess in there. I cannot speak to that because I don't have an Xbox One, so I don't know. But I've heard that a lot. I've also heard a lot of people don't like their controller as much. I would argue the one advantage they do have, though, is much better battery life. The battery life on the PS4 controllers is abysmal. Cannot believe they get away with that. Great controller otherwise. Love it. But that thing is in the pooper when it comes to battery life. So, I don't know. There's positives and negatives to both. I don't think there's an overriding sentiment. I think just, when they're not the lead platform, there maybe is more negative press overall. Maybe you're feeling some of that. But I would also suggest you're probably feeling some of this simply because you are a supporter of the Xbox One, and that's okay. But you're going to feel like you're the underdog right now, like a lot of Sony fans felt in the last generation, and like Nintendo fans feel most of the time since the Super NES days. I think that's part of it. It's hard to, it's kind of like when you buy a van and then you start to notice that everyone else seems to have your van on the highway, that sort of thing. Anyway, that's my take on that. Ziggs wrote in, "Hey, Scott, first time writing in, but I felt motivated to do so because I think you porn sponsorship of a team is a terrible thing for a few reasons." So this is in response to the story we carried last Thursday about you, the YouPorn company having a professional Dota team, professional, what else do they have? I forgot the other teams. Is it Global Ops or Counter-Strike? Some other stuff. Anyway. Here are the reasons. People object to the content of GTA 5 because of its graphic content, and the counter-argument is that the R-rated game is that it's an R-rated game sold only to adults, so it's okay. Dota, however, is a game open to everyone, minors included. Therefore, an argument could be made that YP, or YouPorn, is targeting minors with this move. The last thing I want to do is have my young son seeing a sponsored logo and Googling YouPorn to find out what it is. Sorry if this email is a bit long. I tried to think of how to trim it down and fit it in, but I think the comparison is an accurate one, and the point needs to be made. Really enjoy your shows, mainly Boop in the instance. Keep up the great work, Ziggs. All right, Ziggs, I don't entirely disagree with you. The brand association is going to be a hard thing for them to shake. I am going to go ahead and not assume, and not be conspiratorial, though, and not assume that they are making these pro esports teams to then lure kids into their world. I don't think that's what this is. I think this is founders of that company who are also gamers who have decided to spend a bunch of their extra money on a little dream project like having their own professional teams and having them compete and trying to win. I don't think it's a sneaky excuse to try to get more kids into their porn machine. I don't think that's it. However, it kind of becomes that, and that's the point I agree with you on, because you cannot separate the company from the teams, right? I mean, you just can't. So they can say all day, oh, this has got nothing to do with our actual business. This is a separate thing. Sure. But that's the way it's perceived. That's the way it's seen. And that is a breadcrumb trail for people to go back and see what your, you know, where, how dirty your hands are. So I agree with you. I don't think that's in their intent, but that's the bed they make. That's the place they have to sleep. There's no getting around that. You can't change who you are. This would be like, oh, I don't know. This would be like a pimp who runs a prostitution home full of 50 prostitutes who he has trafficked around the world. And also on the weekends has a carnival business for children. You know, like it's a weird thing to sponsor. I'm with you. I don't know. Arguments could be made all around this thing, but I feel generally like you kind of have a good point, especially as a parent. What do you guys think? You want to pipe in on this? Let me know. Again, the contact details are boopshow@gmail.com or 801-471-0462. All right, we're done. Let's get out of here. Thank you for hanging out with me. Mucho appreciado. Frogpants.com/boop is our website. You can find us on Twitter @boopshow. Support us at our Patreon, patreon.com/frogpants. It's not /boop. People are looking for boop. Don't do that. Go to patreon.com/frogpants and help support the show. You can also buy cool stuff at the Frog Pants store at frogpants.com/store. All right. I always promise music. I had a few requests for this. Plus, it's one I already really like. So, hey, why not play it? This is the Mass Effect 2, the Sound of Galaxy OC remix. I found it there. It's awesome. It's one of my favorites. Blair's app review after this. And maybe a call or two. I forget. I think there's some other stuff coming up. So stay tuned for all of that. But let's start it off with this Mass Effect 2 song. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all for being here. We'll see you on Thursday. Thank you.
Welcome to Blair's App Review. I'm Blair Canfield, and this week's app, Kingdom Rush Origins. Part of the Kingdom Rush series, it definitely lives up to its tower defense roots. For $2.99 on both iOS and Android devices, I think it's worth it, and here's why. Let's start off with the levels. There's a lot of them, and man, are they pretty. The artwork, along with how well the game mechanics flow, really make this a tower defense game that's actually worth playing. Like every other tower defense game, there has to be towers. You have four different types of towers. Archer towers are a rapid shooting physical damage tower that quickly take down single enemies with large health pools. Mage towers focus heavy but slow magic damage on targets that may be more resistant to physical damage. Druid towers are occupied by large tree men, who throw boulders at oncoming enemies, causing AoE blast damage. Finally, there are barracks, which place troops on the ground to help you stop oncoming enemies and allow your other towers to rain down terror. All towers can be upgraded during the match to level 4. After that, you choose a specialization for that certain tower to focus on. But this game isn't all about towers. You're given 3 skills to help protect yourself with. Use them cautiously, because they all have a pretty decent cooldown timer. The 3 skills are Thunderbolt, Reinforcements, and a Hero ability. Speaking of heroes, you're able to choose a hero to join you in each level. That hero has certain abilities that you're able to use to help you take out oncoming waves of death and destruction. You can buy all the heroes, but you're most likely able to unlock all of them just by playing the game. I give Kingdom Rush Origins 8.5 Boulder Chucking Druids out of 10. This game is just what I needed to hold me over until Christmas. Feel free to tell me what you think, or tell me a game you think I should review by contacting me on Twitter at BlairCan, BlairCan. That's all I have for you today. Until next time, I'm Blair Canfield. Happy gaming! Boop!
Hey, Scott Johnson, Larry from Minnesota again. Just a clarifying point, as I worked in retail in the Twin Cities. On the last week's show, you mentioned Target Australia, and that stores like Target and Walmart shouldn't be involved in there. Target Australia is actually a wholly separate company and has absolutely nothing to do with the Target stores that we know in the United States and Minneapolis. I don't know the exact story. The one I got when I worked there for 5 years. The story I had got was that, probably 30 years ago or more, they sold the rights to the brand to Australia and have had massive buyer's remorse for that ever since, and have actually tried to fight them on that, but can't seem to get rid of it. The Target Australia is much more along with what we would think of as a Kmart here. But other than that one interaction, the two companies are completely and totally separate. I got your ear. I'm actually kind of on board with them banning these more violent video games and making those harder to get in the hands of kids, which I know will not ingratiate me to your listeners, but as a father, some of the over-top violent stuff just doesn't sit well with me. Love that Best Buy does the... actually makes you show an ID to get some of these games, but that's just me. At any rate, separate companies. Sorry for the long voicemail.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.